Thank you very much, Mr. McMillan. Appreciate the opportunity to be with you tonight. Mind you, I'm always much happier speaking to a room full of boys and girls, but I'll imagine in my own mind that that's what you all are, a group of boys and girls. But anyway, it is nice to be here this evening and to share with you something of what God has done in my heart and in my life. The hymn writer said, "I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, or to defend his cause, maintain the honor of his word, the glory of his cross. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day." And that is my testimony tonight. And that verse and that chorus sums up what the Lord has done in my heart and in my life. And I thank God tonight for the privilege of knowing Christ as my own and personal Savior. I thank God tonight that he ever set his love upon me and that he drew me to himself in saving grace. I thank God tonight for the privilege of serving him, and I rejoice tonight in all of God's goodness. As I look back, I cannot really remember a time when I didn't know that I needed to be saved. When I was a whole lot younger than what I am tonight, I remember going to gospel meetings in a brethren hall very close to where we lived. And that hymn that I quoted was a hymn that was regularly sung during those meetings. I was in primary school at the time, and as I say, the hall was very close to where we lived, so would have walked down at night and gone into the gospel meeting. I can remember going into that gospel meeting and seeing men on their knees at pews, praying for the district and praying for the area. And as I sat in those meetings as a young girl, I very definitely felt God deal with my young heart and my young life. And I remember coming home from those meetings and saying to my dad about the fact that I felt God was speaking to me. And my dad said to me, he said, "Do you want me to take you to someone that can help you?" And no, I said, not just yet. I felt that, like many more, that I had plenty of time to come to the Savior. I was only in primary school, and I had lots and lots of time to come and trust in Christ as my Savior. And unfortunately, that's the lie the devil tells to many. And many think that they have plenty of time. And maybe tonight you're in the meeting, and you remember as a child going to gospel meetings, and yet tonight you sit in this meeting and you're not yet saved, because you think you have plenty of time. And who knows, tomorrow you could be in God's eternity to be separated from him forever and forever. I remember going to school and, well, you know, school and me weren't the best of pals. I loved school when it was closed. And lunchtime and break time and all the rest of it were my most favorite times in school. Boys and girls of today don't know anything about being disciplined by the use of a cane. The cane and me were very best friends in school. And very often I got blamed for things that I didn't do. But anyway, I remember getting made fun of in school because comment was made. Maybe I hadn't done all my homework, or maybe I hadn't paid attention in the classroom. Oh, she's too busy going to them gospel meetings that are down the road in the gospel hall. But anyway, the Lord saw me through school. I didn't really see it as a very important factor in my life, unfortunately. And the older I get, the more I realize I should have paid a little more attention when I was there. But I do thank God tonight for the work of Faith Mission. And when I was still in primary school, Faith Mission Pilgrims, as they were called then, they're now called Workers. They've got a little posher, and they're called Faith Mission Workers. And I remember Faith Mission Workers coming to an Orange Hall that my dad was associated with. And I can remember it like it was yesterday. There's lots of things I can't remember when I was at school, but I do remember very, very clearly. I was one that never liked the housework too much. The most domesticated thing about me is that I live in a house. And I have a wee sign in my house: "Please don't touch the dust. An experiment is being carried out." But that's how it is. I never was too domesticated. But I love being out on the farm, being out with the sheep and the cattle and all the rest of it. And I remember a very frosty November morning, being with my dad in the van and going up this road, and there was a caravan sitting in a field. And I said to my dad, I said, "Who owns that?" And he said, "That's the Pilgrims." I said, "The who?" He said, "The Pilgrims." He said, "They've come to preach in the Orange Hall." Now, up until that point, I had never heard about Pilgrims. My dad had, because as a young man, he had attended missions conducted by faith mission workers. But we started to attend those gospel meetings. Now, unfortunately, at that particular time in my life and in our family, my dad had become a backslider. My dad had come to know Christ through the work of Boland and Grant. Some of you older folk in the meeting tonight will know who I'm talking about. They were evangelists who moved around the countryside years and years ago. And my dad came to Christ through their ministry. But unfortunately, my dad became a backslider and became involved in things that were very difficult in our home and in our family. But we attended the meetings at the Orange Hall. And as we started to attend those meetings, God began to work in my heart again. And I began to recognize and realize that I was indeed a sinner, and that without Christ, I was going to a lost eternity. There was no heaven for me as a sinner. Now, I wasn't a great sinner. I hadn't done anything terribly wrong, but I knew that I was a sinner, because God's word reminds us that we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity, that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's a picture of you tonight. If you're outside of Christ, that's how the word of God describes you. You're a sinner, born in sin, shapen in iniquity. And that sin separates you from God. And there'll be no heaven for you if you're not saved tonight. And I knew that as a young girl. There was no heaven for me if I wasn't saved. I wasn't a great sinner. I had a very bad temper. A very bad temper. One of the jobs that I did on the farm was I used to milk a cow. And, you know, those of you who know what it's all about, some of you townies might not know that, know tonight, but if you didn't tie her tail well enough, or to her leg, you got a good wallop around the ear with her tail while you were milking her, or maybe lifted the foot and spilt the bucket of milk. Well, now that didn't go down very well with me. And whether there was milk in the bucket or not, I would have picked the bucket up and hit the old cow over the head with it. Not that it really maybe done much to her, but it really made me feel a whole lot of good. But anyway, a very bad temper. For a young girl, I had very bad language. And the things that came out of my mouth, I'm ashamed of tonight. Ashamed of. But I thank God tonight for the change that takes place in the heart. I remember very well, as I say, going to those meetings and God speaking to me, God challenging me. December the 12th, I'll never forget 1967. I wasn't at school, and that was nothing unusual. If my dad had a job to be done, maybe something to be done to cattle or something to be done to sheep, I was first volunteer. I didn't mind not going. And I was off school to help my dad. But he disappeared that morning. And I didn't know where he'd gone. My mum didn't know where he had gone. But eventually he came back at lunchtime. And when he came back at lunchtime, I remember it very well. He came into the kitchen and he threw some booklets on the table and he said to my mum and to me, he said, "Things are going to be different around here now. I've been to see the Pilgrims and I've come back to the Lord this morning." And I tell you, that was a great day in our home. It really was, when my dad came back to the Lord. One of those Pilgrims was Mrs. Spence, who is a member here in the church. Mrs. Spence, as she was Meryl Stafford, and another young lady called Beth Walker, who is now the wife of the Reverend William Smiley, who is a brother to the Reverend Alan Smiley. And those two ladies were the Pilgrims that visited our area. And so my dad had been to see them. That afternoon, my dad and I went out to do some work to sheep. He sent me away off with the dog to gather these sheep. And I remember him telling us, there was an old barn in the field where we were going to do some work. And he told us later that he stood in that barn And he committed each one of us to the Lord. 8 of us in our family. And he committed us, each one, to the Lord in prayer. And he asked the Lord to save us. And he asked the Lord to take us and to use us in his service. The very next day, the pilgrims, I wasn't at school the next day either. And it's a wonder my mum and dad weren't in jail for me not going to school. But anyway, I went the day after. I wasn't at school on the 13th of December either. And I remember being in a loft, hayloft, and the pilgrims came to visit. And that afternoon, I remember talking to them and sitting down with the pilgrims. And as a sinner, I knelt by a chair in our home, confessed my sin to Christ. I knelt a sinner, and I rose a child of God. My sins were forgiven. Oh, it was only the beginning. I didn't understand all that was going to be involved in becoming a Christian and becoming a child of God. But I know that afternoon I became a Christian. That afternoon I was saved. My sins were forgiven. And it's as simple as that, folks, tonight. And if you're here tonight and not saved, our prayer would be that you would take that simple step of faith and that you would kneel in God's presence tonight and that you would confess your sin to Christ. And that you would ask him to come into your heart and to come into your life and to take away your sin. I thank God tonight. The evidence of that was the fact that the filthy tongue went. I didn't have to work at it. It went. God dealt with me as far as my temper was concerned. And I thank God for that tonight. Oh, I'm not saying tonight that I'm perfect. I'm far from perfect. But I know tonight that God met my need. There was quite a number of us actually saved at that particular time. And as I move around our churches, I have discovered that there was a lot of people saved in 1967. And I believe there was a move of God at that particular time. Maybe not revival as we know about revival, but I do believe that God was at work because I know of many, many people who were saved that particular year. Our former minister, Mr. Whiteside, was saved that year. But you know, we grew. We used to, after we were saved, there was a prayer union started in the Orange Hall. And we used to go to that on a Wednesday night. And you know, we broke our necks to get there. We did. Because growing up on the farm and coming home from school, there was always things to be done. But you know, we rushed around and we got the jobs done so we could get to the prayer meeting. My dad was involved in a wee Sunday night gospel meeting at Sheeptown over near Newry. We also went to a meeting in the Orange Hall in Banbridge that was run by John Dixon. And again, jobs to be done, but we rushed at it to get them done, to get to the meeting. Also on a Saturday night, John ran a youth meeting in Banbridge in the Orange Hall. We went to that. Again, Saturday was always a busy day, but we made sure we got the chores done and the work done to get out to the meeting on a Saturday night. And after the meeting in the Orange Hall, we went out onto the bridge to have an open-air meeting. And you know, when we were growing up, you learned to swim very quickly because you'd been standing on the bridge. John would have been playing the accordion and you'd been singing. And he would have said, right, Joyce, you're up next for a word of testimony. And you never got a chance to say no. But you know, God blessed us. And those were marvelous and wonderful days. And we grew in the Lord. And it was wonderful. I wonder tonight, as God's people, how many of us rush to get out to the prayer meeting? How many of us rush to get out to the Sunday night meeting? Or could we just take it or leave it? And sometimes we're guilty of that, aren't we? We can just take it or leave it. As I said, John Dixon ran a meeting in the Orange Hall on a Saturday night. And that's where we learned to pray for missionaries. And John knew a missionary in every country in the world. And I'm really mean that tonight. The Nurses Christian Fellowship, when the Orange Hall was in Banbridge, or the hospital was in Banbridge, nurses used to go to John's Saturday night meeting. And many of those nurses eventually went out to the mission field. And John knew a missionary in every country in the world. And we would have prayed for them. And prayed for them week by week. And then John would have said, Joyce, in 2 weeks' time, you'll bring a wee word to the group. Well, you spent the next 2 weeks and you worried yourself silly and you had your fingers nearly chewed down to the knuckles. But again, the Lord helped us and the Lord enabled us. One of the folks that we prayed for was a lady called Hester Dugan. Hester was with Faith Mission in Canada. We prayed for Hester. And I remember Hester coming home and speaking at the wee fellowship meeting. And you know, God struck a chord in my heart and lit a fire. And I began to think about the serving the Lord on what's called a full-time basis. I don't really like the term, because we should all serve the Lord wherever we are. But anyway, I really felt God challenge me, and I thought, no, not at all. I'm far too young. And I couldn't go to Canada. I mean to say, like, that's the other side of the world. And I put it to the back of my mind. We went to Bangor Convention, and John ran a house party, and I tell you, we had some fun and some fellowship. And we went to the meetings. And I'll never forget sitting in a meeting on an Easter Monday afternoon and God speaking to me about serving him. Oh, John often preached to us about the fact that God had a plan and a purpose for our lives. It was important to find out what that plan and purpose was. And I was very conscious of that. And I, as a young Christian, I really wanted to serve the Lord. I really wanted to do what the Lord wanted me to do, whatever that might be. And I really felt God deal with me. And I remember that Monday afternoon just surrendering myself up to God and saying, Lord, here I am. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. The Lord led me to Faith Mission Bible College. And that again was an experience in itself. If I wasn't going into trouble, I was coming out of trouble. And many, many corners were knocked off, and I was shaped and molded by the Lord into the vessel that the Lord wanted me to be. I went to Bible college because the Lord had called me. The Lord had called me to serve him. I didn't know where, I didn't know when, but I felt the Lord calling me. I remember when I was in Canada going to a Bible college and sitting in a common room and hearing two young girls talking. They were in Bible college as students, and they said the one to the other, well, you know, I really want to serve the Lord where it's warm. I really don't want to go to a cold place. And then the other one said, well, you know, she said, I really only come to Bible college to get a husband. I thought to myself, well, I must have went to the wrong one. But anyway, I thought, well, if that's their reason for coming to Bible college, you know, but I went because the Lord called me. And I was in Canada, and I met many young people who went to Bible college to complete their education. And I sat in one of the largest Bible colleges in Western Canada, Prairie Bible Institute, at a missionary conference. And the stage was full of maybe 200 young people who were graduating after 4 years in Bible college. And it broke my heart as you listened to missionaries speaking of the need in the country that they were in. And there was 200 young people, and you could count on one hand the number of them that were going anywhere to serve the Lord. Now, I'm not saying I was any better than them. No, I wasn't. But it broke my heart to see young people in Bible college and no direction, no thought of where the Lord was sending them. And maybe tonight you're a young person here, and maybe God would challenge your heart about serving him at home or abroad, serving him in some capacity, or serving him within your own denomination, within your own church, children's meeting and Sunday school and youth fellowship or whatever it might be. During my time in Bible college, and I really must hurry on, the Lord again challenged me about Faith Mission in Canada. Boy, I tell you, that was hard. We were a very close family. And I thought, Canada, I couldn't possibly go to Canada. Absolutely not. But God dealt with me very, very, very severely. And I really felt that this is where God wanted me. I had a friend in Canada, and I went to visit her. And when I went to visit her, I went to church on a Sunday morning. And God spoke to me in that church service. And the hymn that they closed that service with that morning was the hymn we sung tonight. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. God broke me in that meeting that morning. And I said, yes, Lord. If it's Canada, it's Canada. And a verse the Lord gave me was a verse in the book of Exodus. And he said, as I prayed about it, he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And so in the process of time, I ended up in Canada serving the Lord with Faith Mission. And I had some wonderful years in Canada. The Lord blessed us. And we went into rural communities where there was no witness of any kind, good, bad, or indifferent. And the Lord blessed us. We've seen children saved. I remember my first outreach in Canada in a wee village on the side of the Okanagan Lake, a wee village called Namara. Knocking doors, advertising meetings for children, and through a tract and through a door. And as I come back through again, the lady from the house shouted at me and she said, come, I need to speak to you. And I went to speak to her at her door. And she said, I've just lifted your tract and read it. And she said, God spoke to me. And she said, I've just knelt down and asked God to forgive my sin. I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. I didn't go to Bible college to become a children's worker. But that's what Canada made me. And I believe that's what God had for me. And I rejoice in all of God's goodness. But there came a time when I felt that my time in Canada had come to an end. I really felt that God was redirecting my steps. Going to Canada was a very hard decision. But I tell you, leaving Canada was an even harder decision. It really was. I loved it. I really did. I loved the work. Oh, I missed the family and it broke my heart when I couldn't get home at Christmas and all the rest of it. And people were with their families and homesickness and all the rest of it. Never really goes away, you know. But I really felt God leading me to come home. I came home, I think it was around December of 86. And I remember going to speak to the Reverend McElveen. And I said I felt God was leading me home and that my burden was to do a children's ministry here at home. And as I spoke to him and talked to him, he encouraged me. But of course, he was very conscious that it had to be my decision and I had to know that it was the will of God for me. I left and went back to Canada that January of 87 and took with me application papers to apply to come to work under the mission board of the Free Presbyterian Church. Now, I already was a Free Presbyterian. I was already a member of the church in Banbridge and had been for quite a number of years. Went back to Canada, prayed much. And in the January of that year, 87, the Lord gave me a wee word which said, ye have encompassed this mountain long enough. And I felt that was God's word to me. To return home. I filled in the papers and eventually came home December of 87 and again met with the mission board, met with Mr. McElveen and the mission board, and through a long process, some folks said to me, what if they want you to go to the Whitfield College? I thought, not on your life. No. I said, well, if those men in their wisdom think that 2 years in the Whitfield College is going to teach me anything more than I already know, well, I bow to their wisdom. And eventually I was accepted to work under the board in September of 1988. And that seems a lifetime away. But I thank God tonight for his leading in my life. And I didn't have to go to the Whitfield. But I thank God tonight for his leading in my life. I really do tonight. And I look back and I can say all the way my Saviour leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy who through life has been my guide? And I rejoice tonight in all the leading of God. And I can honestly say tonight, I would not change one thing. I wouldn't. I really wouldn't. Yes, there's times it's been hard. There's times it's been difficult. There's times you felt like throwing in the towel and saying, forget this. But I wouldn't change it for anything. I really wouldn't. And I rejoice tonight in the work that God has given to me. And I thank him tonight for the opportunity to serve him amongst our boys and girls. And it's been tremendous to see boys and girls come to Christ. It's been marvelous to see them grow up in the Lord, to take their place within the church. And it makes me feel old tonight to see them raising their own wee families and raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that is such a blessing, and that is such an encouragement. And before I finish, I want to say a word of thanks to all of you tonight who've prayed for me and supported me in the work of God. And I thank you tonight for that in the Lord's name. And my prayer and desire through this stumbling words of testimony would be that if you're not saved, that you will come to Christ tonight, and that you will turn from sin, and you will come to know my Saviour, and that you will prove that I have proved that he is a Saviour worth serving. He is a Saviour worth... He is not a disappointment. He's not tonight. He's far more than all we could ever imagine or we could ever dream. Do continue to pray for the work. Next Monday the 9th, I start a week of after-school Bible club in Lisnadale Primary School, which is not too far from you here in Armagh, but do pray for us as we go to the school there, that God will bring the boys and girls, that my parents will let them stay. Brand new opening, and I thank God for the openings into the schools that he's given. Also, the following week, the week of the 16th, I'm going to be with our Mullet Glass Church doing the three open airs that we've been doing for quite a number of years. We're going up to Bandit Country. We're going to White Cross. And we've been into White Cross for a number of years now. And just like last week, a number of wee Roman Catholic children gather around us. And do pray for us that God will enable us and help us, that they will continue to come. We've never had a problem. We've never had a problem. But do pray that the old devil will be kept at bay and those children will be able to come down into Newry for a meeting, and also Bessbrook. We start about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, finish up around 7. And it's really encouraging because the Mullet Glass Church will have a group up in White Cross and they'll be there. And if we need a gazebo set up, they'll have that done. I'll get down to Shandon Park and the folks will be there and they'll have the meeting organised. I'll go up to Bessbrook and the folks will be up. Some of the folks will be up there. They divide themselves and some of them will be up there and they'll be organised. And I just go and do the singing, and I do the easy bit. I do the singing and all the rest of it. So do pray for us. But I pray tonight, my earnest prayer tonight is that if you're not saved, that you'll come tonight. And that, as Lisa was singing, that when the King comes, you'll be ready. And you, like the rest of us, will go to meet him in the air. May God bless you. Thank you.